Scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 12. We'll be looking at verses 13 through 21. We'll be looking at the parable of the rich fool. Let us now give our undivided attention to the reading of God's Word. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in abundance of things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down all my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have made many goods, laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, oftentimes, when there's a death of a loved one, and we've all most likely experienced this, but it can often cause turmoil within a family. Fights break out. There are many conflicts between brothers and sisters, cousins, uncles, and aunts. And the question is, why is there such fighting when there is a loss of a family member? Oftentimes these fights happen because people's eyes are focused on money and possessions rather than the relationship that they have with their family members. One brother might feel as if he was left out. A sister may feel as if she didn't get her proper due. And in this type of scenario, oftentimes no one really cares about the broken relationships. All their eyes are really focused on is greed, and their hearts grow cold for one another. And the question is, should our eyes be so engulfed in what we can have in this life that we totally forget the perspective of eternal life? Sadly, oftentimes this is the case. But should we search after those things that will crumble and fall away? Or should we look for something that will not fade away? And as you listen, think about where your eyes are focused at this evening. Are your possessions more important than your family members? How about God? Does your soul long for abundance of wealth and prosperity? Or does it long for God? And think about these things as we look at the parable of the rich fool. Now just to lay some context of what's going on in chapter 12, we have Jesus surrounded by a great multitude. And this multitude was so great that people were trampling over one another just to hear Jesus speak. And then in the middle of his teaching, a man interrupts Jesus. And he says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now what this man was trying to do is he was going to Jesus for legal advice. And in his cry, we can see what his situation was. It appears as if his father had died. And his father had died without giving any type of will. So therefore, in the custom of that time, when there was no will, the inheritance would go to the older brother. And the older brother would be the one who would distribute the inheritance. And obviously, this didn't happen. It could be very true that this younger brother who cries out to Jesus was wrong. But Jesus doesn't respond to this man with sympathy. But he responds in this. He was disheartened and he was disappointed. For he knew that this man had no desire to be reconciled with his brother. But instead, all he truly wanted was his father's possessions. And that's all. He was willing to sacrifice that relationship for what he could get. And this is what Jesus says to him. He says, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you?" For Jesus didn't come into this world to just deal with petty disputes that would further divide relationships. But Jesus knew that this man had a worse problem than his issue with his brother. But this man who was crying out to Jesus for legal advice, his problem was that his heart was full of greed, was full of sin. And it clouded his reality that the inheritance was ultimately his or his brother's, but it ultimately belonged to God. They were merely stewards of what God had given them. Now Jesus continues and he warns the crowd of the desire of an abundance of possessions. Jesus says to the crowd, the multitude, he says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in an abundance of things he possesses." Now Jesus further expands his warning by giving a parable. And in this parable we have a rich man. This rich man was blessed with an abundance of things. And in this parable it says that he was given an abundance of crop. But instead of giving glory to God, he worried about what he would do with all this crop. And he says to himself, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down all the barns that I have and I'll build up new ones. And then once I store all those things up in there, I can rest easy, enjoy my life." That's what he basically said. But what this man is unaware of is that his life would be required of him that very night when he thought he could finally just breathe easy and relax. But what can we learn from this rich fool? And by looking at this parable, which I've read before, but I'd never really thought about this, but this man was all alone. This man had accumulated so much wealth that he pushed everyone away that he loved. For in this passage, we don't see him talking with family members, workers, or friends, but the only person that he could talk to was himself. And that's what he said when he was thinking about what he should do with all this crop. He says, "What shall I do since I have no room for my crops?" And like the man that was crying out to Jesus who was willing to sacrifice his relationship with his brother, this rich man had gone so far that he pushed everyone away. And Jesus knew that that man who cried out to him could do the very same thing. But also, this rich man was truly a fool because he did not acknowledge God He did not acknowledge what God had graciously given him. All he saw in the stuff that he had was his possessions, his crops, his barn, and even his soul. He thought that all just belonged to him. But instead, he would eventually realize that what he had wasn't ultimately his, but what was given to him was God's. But he learned too late. After he died, he would realize in hell that even his very life did not belong to him, but was on loan from God. And it was truly a gift. And by looking at this rich fool, we see that he is just like what we read in Psalm 14. For verse 1 said in Psalm 14, a fool says in his heart, there is no God. Now that fool didn't say it or acknowledge it from his mouth openly, but the way he lived, and the way he did view his possessions was the fact that he did not acknowledge God. But all he thought was of himself. But if we are not to focus upon and seek an abundance of things with greedy eyes, where should our eyes be focused on? Should our eyes be like this fool who was short-sighted and only saw what he could see physically and did not acknowledge or even think about what would happen to him after this life? For he thought that the best in life was abundance of food and drink. But as Christians, we know that life is more than just what we have, but what we have in God. Just that it must be noted, just so there's no confusion, there is nothing wrong with owning possessions. Just because you might have a nice house or a plentiful crop or a solid career doesn't mean that you need to sell everything, go live in the woods, and become a monk. That's not what this is saying. But no, instead you are to acknowledge that all that you have is a gift from God. Because of sin, if we really think about what we truly deserve, all we truly deserve is to be separated from God's goodness forever. But yet, He has shed His grace upon you. He has shed the blessings that you have in this life and what you will have in the life to come. And oftentimes we can be short-sighted like this fool and forget the blessings that we have in this life. If we would just sit back and just look around us, even look at the past, we would see all that the Lord has provided for us. And we should be able to say, as the psalmist says in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Once again, the things that we own are not inherently bad. But we should not seek wealth and riches to the point that they become our idol and become our dead and false God. So instead of looking at things as just our house or our job or our life or our spouse, we should acknowledge God and His wonderful gifts that He has given us. For it's because of Him that you have the spouse that you have. It's because of Him that you have the career that you have. And even the fact that you were able to come here today safely and soundly to worship Him, that was a gift as well. And because of those things, we should give praise and glory to God and give thanks to Him always. But yes, that is often easier said than done. Especially when we look at all the struggles that we have in this life. When we look at the burdens, when we look at the fact that it's hard to make ends meet. It's hard to pay the bills. Work is a struggle and a pain. Sometimes it's even difficult to raise children. But in all these burdens, these things, any burden that we have in this life, we should not look at them as merely burdens, but look at them as what they truly are. God is using even the struggles in our life for His purposes and for our good. Let me just give you a personal example. I know someone probably a year ago, a little over a year ago, who lost her father. Her and her father were so close that when he died, she was crushed. All she could look at was the pain, the suffering, the hurt, the loneliness. But her eyes were focused on something that we understand. We should acknowledge suffering. There's nothing wrong with mourning. But even in mourning, we should be able to see God's goodness. And she eventually did see that. This woman, because her father had passed away, it brought her relationship with her mother even closer. And before her father's death, their relationship was quite a bit at odds. But she realized, after it was explained to her, that that was a gift through suffering. And unlike the rich fool, we must give thanks to God when life is plentiful, but also when life is barren. Because there is always a time that we can give thanks. Even the unbeliever, the one who does not acknowledge God, who forsakes Him, should truly be giving thanks to God. Because even the good things that they have in this life is by His grace. And that's what Jesus teaches in Matthew 5:45. He said, "For God makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." And the rich man didn't do this. He did not recognize God's goodness or His providential hand. For all that man had could have been ripped away if God would have removed His providential hand from what this man owned. But it was indeed God who was sustaining him. And likewise, in a moment, all the things that we have in this life, if God decided to remove His hand from it, it would be all gone. But instead, by His grace, He upholds this world. He upholds your life. And even Job, a man who at one point in time lost everything, lost his family, lost all his things that he had, he understood that it was God who had the power to give, but He also had the power to take away. And even Job could not accuse God of wrongdoing. But instead of looking at God as the sustainer of life, this rich fool thought that his life was to be sustained by abundance of food and drink. But it ended up happening that he had stored all this stuff. He was ready to sit and relax. But what ended up happening is that he died before he could even enjoy it. And when that rich fool in this parable died, he could not bring all those crops with him. He could not bring his riches with him. All he really could bring was a depraved soul tainted with sin. And it can often be a scary thing for those who do not trust in the Lord. But for us who do, and that who understand God's sovereignty, it should be a comfort knowing that God is controls and knows when we will live, when we will die. For think about this. What is more important? Is it more important to have the accolades of the world? How about to have the wealth of Bill Gates? That might seem great, right? But all that will end up fading over time. But what is truly better is the fact of knowing that we have peace with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, knowing that He has paid all our debts because of our sin. Every lustful thought, every greedy look that we've ever had has been nailed to that cross. And because of that, we have peace with God. Not only in this life, but we have the hope of the life to come. Because yes, when people have fame and fortune, for a time it might seem to soothe or satisfy the soul. But that will all be in vain if that relationship with God is still broken by sin. For Matthew 8:36 says, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" And it's very sad, but that's what is exactly what the man in this parable did. And he did it for what? Food and drink. Something that we oftentimes just enjoy in our own lives. But just think of other people in this life. They forfeit their souls for a bunch of things. And they'd rather have that than have that peace with God. But then you think, why in the world would this rich man long for such earthly treasures and that be his only focus? And that is because he thought that he could receive true enjoyment, joy from what he could have in this life. But oftentimes, if you were to talk to someone who has everything, whether that's an actor or a politician or someone who has all the money that a person can use, spend up, use it for wonderful clothing or abundance of food, they'll tell you, those who do not know the Lord, that those things will not buy you joy. And in the end, it will only bring more hardship and troubles. Oftentimes, more possessions mean more problems. Bigger houses mean what? Bigger messes. More boats and campers mean you have less time to enjoy them. And more often than not, people who are wealthy worry so much of the fact of losing those possessions. If you were to look online and look at past lotto winners, most time people say, wow, that would just be great to win the lottery, wouldn't it? But if you were to look online and see what happened to those people, is oftentimes it brought more worry than pleasure, more struggles than joy. For they worry about thieves. Many worried about pleasing others and even to the point of constant stress that they almost bring themselves to the brink of death. But Jesus, in this parable, finishes up and closes with a statement in verse 21. He says, "So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God." And if we live like the rich fool in that parable, we truly are fools ourselves. For what is truly important is that we are rich toward God. And just like the earthly possessions that we have, our spiritual treasures, our spiritual inheritance that we have been given is a gift from God. We did not earn that for ourselves. It was all God's doing. It was God who loved us despite the fact that we had searched and longed after sin. It was God who took our hearts that only loved evil and turned our hearts to want to love Him and to enjoy Him. And it was God who gave the Lord Jesus Christ to go to the cross and be our substitutionary atonement, to die on our behalf, to pay the debt that we should have paid, but we couldn't. And it was Christ who has paid and covered and washed away all our sins. And it is through Christ that we have peace with God. Yes, we don't deserve the things that we have. We could not purchase our salvation with gold or silver, but it was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And those who trust in wealth, those who long after those things, will only be shocked when they end up and all they have is God's wrath forever. But for us, even if we lose everything we have true joy. And we have peace. And oftentimes, as Christians, we don't enjoy life as much as we should. In the right way, not in a simple way. But as Christians, we should be the most happy people in the world. There should be a joy because we know that one day, everything that we struggle with will be gone and we will be with the Lord forever. And that means that we'll have joy in this life, and the joy that we'll have will be much greater after this life. That's because we know that we are forgiven because of what God has provided for us. And those who are redeemed in Christ are truly rich in God. You, beloved, are rich in God. And knowing all these things, knowing what God has provided for you both in this life and the life to come, that should change your perspective of life. It should not cause you to live carelessly or selfishly. But what it should do is it should make you want to use all that you have and all that you own for the glory of God. For that fool lived for one person and one person only, and that was himself. But as Christians, those who belong to God, should we live a life of selfishness? Should we live for ourselves? No. We should not. But we should live for the glory of God. So, beloved, let's go back to the question, a few questions, and just think about this. Are you living like the fool? Are your eyes focused on the wrong things? Are they focused on abundance of wealth, power, fame, beauty, you name it? And what you have you forgotten to give thanks to God? Given thanks for the house or the food or the family that you have? If so, which we've all done from time to time, we should turn our eyes away from those things that turn into our idols, but turn our eyes to the Lord. And we should recognize that all that we have comes from Him, and we should understand that we are just merely stewards, and that we should use all that we have for His glory and for His honor. So the question now is, what do you have? What has the Lord blessed you with? Ponder about these things as you leave this evening, as you go out this week. What do you have that you can use for the glory of God? Are you farmers? Do you have abundance of crop? How can you use that for the glory of God? Do you have specific abilities, such as music or construction, be able to craft and build things? Do you have the gift of teaching? Or even a gift such as being placed in a position of authority? And whatever the ability that you have, think about how you can use that for Him. And remember, not only with the things that we can see with our eyes, but think of your very own life. Your life is bought with a price. It was bought by Christ. But remember that it's not a right, but it is a gift. And one day, like that rich fool, our souls will be required of us. And that could be even today. But with the short time that we have in this life, whether it be only an hour or it be 80 years, live your life for the Lord and for His glory. And remember that abundance of life is not found in a surplus of stuff, but it can only be found in God alone. Amen.